Blog Talk Radio.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Well, if I want to shave it close, so I want to rock locks that'll take a bit away from the soul that I got. Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15, when it all broke off. 18, and I went all nacho. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do.
Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside.
97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that,
hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations. No, no.
Hey,
I am not my hair.
Hello, hey, 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 and good evening to all of you out there. You are now listening to WPGR Network Radio, and I am your Thursday night host, Trinita Randall. Welcome to the Circle of Inclusion, where my weekly topics are usually surrounding the special needs field. Here on the Circle of Inclusion, I have guests, and they come on to speak on various issues regarding diagnoses, parenting, education, physical and mental health services, as well as any other services that are needed. Needed now, needed later in the future, or even needed when the child is transitioning into adulthood. And at some point in our lives, we have all wanted to be in a circle, or just be included with those around us. For a lot of us, that never happened. However, today I am happy to say you have now found your circle of inclusion. Callers and listeners, don't forget, during our conversation, you can press 1 if you have a comment, question, or would like to make a suggestion. So tonight, my guest, Mr. Dewey Sampson, is from Capitol Heights, Maryland. I've not met him in person, but we were introduced via social media through another friend of mine who was actually one of my first guests here on Circle of Inclusion, Ms. Elijah Smith-Nicholson. See, Mr. Sampson, he graduated from Florida A&M with a BA in business management. He married his best friend of 18 years in 2012. Her name was Melanie, and they were blessed with a son in 2014, who is his namesake and is affectionately called DJ. In 2019, Melanie, Dewey's wife, was diagnosed with Graves' disease, and later that year, she closed her eyes to take her heavenly rest in September. This, of course, left Dewey not only a widow, but also a first-time father, with a son who had been recently diagnosed with autism. Dewey has found himself in a world that most men are oblivious to. We know that generally the father or dad figure is not the one who attends the multiple physicians and specialist appointments or even the IEP meetings for general educational purposes. As in most cases, we as parents kind of learn as we go, especially when you have your first child. You know, when it comes to raising a child, whether they are special needs or atypical. As a parent, we get frustrated. But as a special needs parent, we tend sometimes to get even more frustrated. You know, we get frustrated because there's so much to learn. We have to, you know, touch and go, and every child is not the same. So what works for one parent and their child may not work for this parent and the next child. It's a touch and go. It's a learning experience all the way through. And as a parent, the frustration, we have less time to relax, rewind, relate, as most other parents do. And this has led Dewey to create a support group for others like him. A group to give men a place to relate to this new world. A group to give men who are generally the providers, the leaders, but they find themselves in a situation where they're really not able to lead. You think you're leading, but you're following the child, actually. The child is leading because you have to learn how to deal, how to comfort, how to speak to, how to direct, redirect that child. So in all actuality, outside of what you normally do as a parent, the child is leading you. It's just like a newborn baby. When a newborn baby cries, he's leading you to tell you, I'm hungry or I'm wet, I'm pooped or something. Change me, you know. So with that being in mind, with these dads, with these fathers, with these men who aren't generally in the thick of things when it comes to raising the children, and this is by far no way of taking anything from a father who has been. This is just an atypical household, you know. But Dewey saw a need to provide an area for parents, for fathers, to be able to voice their opinions, network with one another, and he formed this group called the Fathers of Superheroes. So I'm going to remind you that if you want to have a question or if you'd like to make a comment, just press 1 and you'll be placed right in the caller's queue. So without further ado, please allow me to introduce to you no other than Mr. Dewey Sampson.
Thank you, Trinita. I'm excited to be here.
Welcome, welcome. Glad you're excited. I am too. So, you feeling okay today?
I am. I'm doing well today.
Good. So, I just kind of gave a brief rundown of the basic stuff of who you are and where you're from, your beautiful wife, Melanie, and the awesome DJ. So what I'd like to ask you to share with our listeners first is the diagnosis that DJ has and what age he was diagnosed.
Sure. So my wife and I started to notice some developmental fallback at a pretty early age. So we spoke with our pediatrician, and she put us in contact with Strong Start. We got together with Strong Start, and we were monitoring DJ's progression. So in Washington, D.C., they don't like to diagnose children with autism before the age of 3. Mm-hmm. So he was diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum at the age of 3.
Okay. And he's what age now?
He is now 5, going on 6 in a couple of months, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you say you took him to the doctor because you and your wife were noticing some developmental delays.
Right.
Would you like to share with us what type of delays that you were noticing were not on point?
Sure. So the first one was he didn't walk until he was around, I believe, 15 or 16 months. He would stand up, and you could see him trying to do it, but he wasn't walking, and he hadn't started to babble as well. And so that's a strong indicator of communication starting to begin. We thought that it also could have been because when he was first born, he didn't pass his hearing exam. So he passed in the left ear, but he didn't pass in the right. Found out later on, maybe 6 months later, that he had fluid on the ear and was going to have ear tubes. So we were still trying to figure out, you know, if there were a developmental delay or if it was an effect of or cause and effect of the not being able to essentially hear for the first 6 months of his life.
Okay. So now where he's at, what type of traits does he show now?
So DJ is a big stemmer. He okay. definitely stems quite a bit. His stem is the wringing of the hands. He's not a hand flapper. And he also likes to, like, if he's in the house and he has a tablet, he'll literally run from one side of the living room to the other side of the living room. 1,000 times in a row.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I've been fortunate and I guess in a way, because each kid that's on the spectrum obviously is different, as you stated. We haven't gotten to a point where he has a lot of meltdowns or he doesn't get very angry. He has a really pleasant disposition. So I've been really fortunate in that aspect. I have noticed over the last couple of weeks, because we're pushing him a little bit more with regards to what he's doing in speech therapy, I've noticed that he's a little bit more frustrated than he used to be, but that's also to be expected because of what we're trying to get him to accomplish.
Right. So I'm going to back up just a sec, because we may have some listeners that hear some of the terminology that you and I are very familiar with.
Sure.
But they may not understand what you're talking about. So can you explain to our listeners, what do you mean when you say stimming?
Sure. I guess in layman's terms, it would be a stim is how we, I guess, neurotypical folks would express ourselves through emotion. So whether it's us tapping our foot, we're able to express ourselves and get that emotion out. With BJ, with him not being nonverbal, the way that he does it to show his excitement, instead of laughing or doing whatever a neurotypical person might do, he wrings his hands. And so every kid has a different stim. I know some kids that flap their hands like they're trying to fly away. You know, it just depends on the child and what they feel comfortable in allowing, I guess, their emotions to be expressed.
Mm-hmm. So more of a self-stimulatory behavior.
Absolutely.
What it is. Right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. My oldest son used to stim. His was with string. It could come from a shirt, a sweater, piece of lint off the floor, a bath towel, what have you, anything. And we wouldn't notice it. He'd have something pinched into them tiny little hands and looking at something that we couldn't see most of the time, but he saw it, and it would just kind of go around and up. So I understand what that is.
And ironically enough, when he got his ear tubes, there was a nurse there that had practiced or had some experience with children that were on the spectrum. And she was actually the first person to say something to us about him possibly being autistic. So when they took him back and they were going to put him under anesthesia, they finished with the ear tubes, and she came out and she said, you know, have you guys, she asked us if we had ever heard of autism, and, you know, she thought she couldn't obviously diagnose anything, but she said that he showed some of the signs because he was stimming at such an early age. And that's also one of the things that caught our attention, and that's the reason why we started noticing what we were noticing, and actually speaking, got us to speak to the pediatrician as well.
Okay, wonderful. So am I correct in understanding you have not had to delve into the land of medication for him as of yet?
As of yet, no. You know, different things work for different people. So thus far, we haven't seen any like behavioral issues or anything with ADHD or anything like that. So far, we're taking a total communication approach to things with his language and with the way that he expresses himself. So we're doing a little bit of sign language, speech, and assisted technology device. So hopefully we're able to allow him to continue to express himself and not get to that point where he's having behavioral issues or, you know, just trying to express himself in that capacity.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Sounds like you're doing a wonderful job. I mean,
you've
covered a lot of bases in the last year by yourself, and it hasn't even been a complete year. And I'm sure that your lovely wife had a number of things that she already kind of had into play prior to her journey into eternal rest, but you've picked up the ball and just kind of continued to run that life. And I definitely applaud that, because it's a very hard thing for most women. You know, we dig down deep as women, but for a gentleman of your caliber to say, I got this, because that's what you're saying. You're saying, I got this by moving on forward and doing what's best for your child. You know, and I definitely applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. At my wife's funeral, my cousin gave a eulogy. Well, actually, it wasn't my cousin that did it. It was actually the minister from the church that said it. He was like, well, when you first met Mel, and it was just her and Dewey, it was Dewey, Dewey, Dewey. And then when she had DJ, it was DJ, DJ, DJ. Like, that was her primary focus. And I couldn't think of a better way to honor her by making sure that her son, our son, is going to be okay, because by far that was, he is the most important person in her life. So, you know, I feel like this is what I would have done it anyway, but partly the reason why I go so hard is because I want to make sure that she knows that her son is okay.
Okay. So you said that he does not have any type of meltdowns or anything like that, you know. So when you're in public, does he get overstimulated by his surroundings? And if so, what do you do to help him get through it?
He does. We actually went to Target this morning. And so obviously in the climate that we're in now, there's a lot of things that are going to be stimuli, right? So he has to have his mask on. He sees everyone else with the mask on. He's always holding my hand, or I wipe down a cart and put him in the cart so he can't just be going everywhere. So it's a lot that's going on. So in Target today, you know, he started to kind of yell, and he started to kind of, you know, you could definitely tell that he was about to start going in a different direction. What I like to do is to get down on his level. So I'll stoop down and I'll look him in the eye, and, you know, I'll just ask him a couple of questions. I'm like, son, are you okay? Is there anything hurting? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Just basically trying to figure out what's going on with him at that point, and just trying to get him to calm down. DJ is a deep pressure person, so he likes squeezes and deep hugs and things of that nature. And the word escapes me. I think it's pro. It escapes me now, but I'll come back to it. But he, once we get him to calm down with that, so I'll have his hands and I'm squeezing his hands to let him know so he can sense that or feel that deep pressure that he likes. And then I'll give him like a deep hug or a really big hug. A bear hug, and, you know, I might lift him off the ground and I might wiggle him around in the air, and that typically brings him back down to the level that he's normally at.
So he basically, like you're saying, he responds to deep pressure stimulation.
Absolutely.
You know, okay.
Absolutely.
And that's good. Have you thought about or had the need been brought up to you for one of the vests or the blankets?
That's interesting. So he actually wore a vest in school last year. It was a compression vest that my aunt bought us, and he wore the compression vest at school. We told our OT, Skills on the Hill in Washington, D.C., they're phenomenal, and they implemented it into his routine there as well. And what's also interesting is that you brought up the blanket. So we noticed that when he was in his crib, and now that he's in his big boy bed, he always, no matter what, he always needs a blanket. If it's a, obviously it's 90 something degrees today, but DJ's still going to get under a blanket. It's not a weighted blanket. So I haven't necessarily tried the weighted blanket, but I think it would be a success for us. And like what he really enjoys also is, so during this pandemic, you just try to figure out different ways where you can get the best out of your child. So obviously everything is virtual now. So speech, ABA, OT, and PT are all virtual. And I was trying to figure out what's the best way that we can get the most out of all of these things as we're doing it from a computer. So his room, fortunately enough, his room is big enough that my brother-in-law and I were able to create like a sensory room for him. So we built him like a rock wall. He has a balance beam that we built. We did a magnetic chalkboard for the speech. And then we also did a sensory swing. And by far, the sensory swing is the thing that he loves absolutely the most. Like, if I would allow him to, he would sleep in that sensory swing at nighttime.
Yeah, because it kind of hugs him, right?
Exactly.
Sounds like you're doing a superb job. Yes, I'm loving this. So I keep, so let's back up.
Okay.
You did say that last year when school was in session, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So what type of school setting is he in?
Okay. He goes to Tyler Elementary, and he is in the CES program. And so with kids that are on the spectrum, the autism spectrum, they have a separate class, but it's an inclusionary class. So they try to include them as much as they possibly can in other classes with other kids for that socialization piece. So he, in the CES program, he is one of six. You can have a maximum of six students per class.
Okay. That sounds good. And does he enjoy going to school, or is that a fight every day?
So my son has a lot of personality. So we'll be walking down the halls of the school, and neurotypical kids will be coming down and waving at him and be like, "Hey, DJ, how's it going?" And it's really, I always found it interesting because obviously he doesn't speak. Towards the end of this year, he was getting a handheld walk to class from the principal. He has a lot of personality. Like, he just went up to her and grabbed her by the hand, walked her to the class, and then like he kissed her on the hand and waved, and I was just like, wow. And then that became like an everyday thing. So school for him is a pretty easy thing to get him to go to school. Again, because of his personality, there aren't too many things or too many aspects of life that we can't put him in as of right now where he doesn't function well.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's good, because a lot of kids, when they are on the spectrum, they, have a tendency, those with behavior, or they get overstimulated, they may have a meltdown as soon as they get into the school, or be right at the door because they refuse to go in.
Right.
And it's always that's a big step for them.
It is.
And especially like now everything is virtual, but it sounds as though if and when they go back to in-school classes, that he will more than likely be just as eager to continue, pick up where he left off at.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
So obviously things are obviously very different now. Some of his classmates did have some of those concerns. The biggest thing for DJ is the noise aspect. We're still trying to figure out if it's loud noises or is it like white noise or what it is that affects him the most. We live across the street from a fire station, and they go in and up and down our street all night. DJ can be outside and the fire truck will pass by. Some days he'll cover his ears, some days he won't. But when the first time I took him to his OT, their new facility, they have a huge fan, and the white noise from the fan, like the woo woo woo, that noise, it just irked him. I thought that was fascinating to her personally, because I was just like, of all the noises, that's the one that's gonna bother you. So I thought that was interesting.
Right, exactly. Well, like I said in my introduction, everyone is so different from one child to the next.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you have a support system. You have some relatives, right?
I do, yes.
Okay. Can you tell us what type of support they offer you?
Everyone has been extremely helpful since everything happened with my wife in September. So my son while school was going, he would go to school from 8:15 until about 12:30. And then then he would be picked up and he would go to ABA, applied behavioral analysis, from 1 until 3. My aunt would pick him up from there and she would watch him. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law have, if I just need a day where, or a night where I just want to just relax, they've allowed him to stay over there. My dad, sister, my Barbara. So I'm really fortunate that I have an extended family here in the area that is willing to help me in raising DJ. I couldn't have gotten this far in these 9 months without them.
Right.
My aunt is watching DJ right now. So, like I said, you know, I couldn't have done any of this without the family.
That's wonderful, and I pray that they continue to help you along this journey and help you to enforce what it is that you expect of him and put into him what it is that you'd like to have in him. You know, now the services that you receive
mm-hmm.
for DJ, like the personal care, attendance, or DME, or any other type of therapeutic services.
Okay.
What do you receive?
So as of right now, we have ADA, and he does that 4 times a week. Well, in a normal world, in a non-pandemic world, he would do that 4 times a week for 2 hours a day. He's going to be doing occupational therapy twice a week for an hour. We're going to try to get speech bumped up to twice a week. Currently, he does it once a week for an hour, and then physical therapy. And I think we'll keep physical therapy at an hour a week because, you know, we have other resources that we can do a little bit more with physical therapy. So if he's on the rock wall or, like, again, today we went out for, like, a 2-mile walk, we have these little mushrooms across the street from our house in the park that we get them to climb up on and do some of the exercises that our PT has asked us to do. So I think we can be okay with an hour of PT because we can do the individualized stuff on our own. But the rest of them, yeah, we're gonna bump everything up to 2 hours a week.
Okay, sounds good. DJ gonna be on point.
I'm a member of Alpha Phi fraternity, and you know, there's you know, you learn certain poems, and one of the poems I learned was excuses. He's not gonna have any excuses.
Right. Exactly. So, what type of goals do you have for DJ? Whether they be immediate, like within the next year, or long term, what are your hopes of the goals that he's able to reach?
So the biggest goal long term is to be able to communicate. I think a lot of folks, when they hear the word communication, they automatically think of speech. But what they don't realize is that there's other ways to communicate. Communication is obviously nonverbal. A lot of it's nonverbal as well. I want to be able to, when I'm no longer here, that DJ is able to communicate and to do the day-to-day things that are going to keep him going. And that's the primary focus for me, because I think that's the most important thing that's out there. The rest of it will come, you know, like I said, the physical side of things. He's made tremendous strides since we've done the little sensory room, and now he's walking up the steps without using the railing. He's jumping now. He's doing all those great things. But I think that the communication piece, especially for later on in life, is the most important. The other goals, like the short-term goals, I just work in conjunction with his therapist. You know, at the beginning of this year, the biggest thing for me was to get him potty trained. His ABA folks were absolutely amazing, and they kind of gave me the push I needed. You know, they told me, oh, well, we're just going to have to stop. We're going to have to just take the pull-up off. And I was like, that's not it. But they were definitely right, and I can say now he's completely potty trained, which is phenomenal. And so little things like him eating on his own, he's gotten to a point where he can eat on his own with a spoon. We're still working on a fork and actually pricking things and picking them up in that capacity. But, you know, it's the little things that I think that parents that have neurotypical children don't necessarily think about,
right.
You know, the little things like that. You know, I had a DJ had to go to the emergency room a couple of months ago now. Again,
mm-hmm.
The pandemic has me thrown off a little bit. I didn't know what was wrong with him, obviously. And I was talking to one of my friends, and he asked me, and he has children, and he was like, well, what's wrong with him? And I was like, well, if I knew that, like, we probably wouldn't be going to the ER. And again,
right.
not not because he doesn't care about DJ. He loves DJ. He's like family to us. But it's just something that folks don't necessarily think about unless they have children that are on the spectrum or have special needs.
Exactly. Amen to that. So another important question that I wanted to ask you is, what are you able to do for yourself as an adult to remain centered?
Honestly, this is something that I've been talking about with a lot more of my male friends just in general, but especially, and we'll get to it with the group as well, it's probably the most important thing that you can do is just take some time out for yourself. Because if you're completely drained, your child is going to sense it, you know, if you're tired or if you're upset. Again, like I've noticed where I might have said things to DJ and then the way that he responds to me is more aggressive. And I'm like, okay, now I need to figure out what's going on with me. Mm-hmm. Because it's a direct reflection. He's my mirror. And mm-hmm. so, you know, for me, and what's really important, and unfortunately in the African-American community, a lot of times we don't necessarily, we're getting to a point now where we have a better understanding of what therapy is. I love my therapist. I see her I talk to her twice a week, and she helps me through everything. So obviously you're still in a grieving period, plus the fact that you have a child that's on the spectrum, plus you're dealing with the day-to-day aspects of life. And she gives me like a sounding board to help me get to that next level. And it's going to be different for everybody. So I thoroughly enjoy exercise. And so, you know, DJ and I will get up. He's an early riser. So, again, with kids that are on the spectrum, a lot of times they're very precise. DJ wakes up between 5:47 and 5:51 pretty much every day. So we get up early, and then we go to Anacostia Park. I could do some calisthenics. DJ runs around before the masses get out there and before, you know, you're at risk of anything. So I do that. So whatever it is, you just have to find what it is that gives you that moment to yourself, whether it's cooking, whether it's music, whatever that is. It is vitally important as a parent of a child with special needs to make sure that you are okay. And because, again, it directly affects your child. And I know it's hard. But at the end of the day, it's important. And sometimes as a parent with a child with special needs, you feel as though you can't leave them or they need you all the time. Mm-hmm. But you need to be in peak performance level so you can be the best parent that you can be for that child.
Exactly. And you are doing an awesome job. You are doing a superb job, and you know, the great man that you are is what you're going to put into your son.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that we have some guys out there that are listening. We're going to go and take a break.
Okay.
For a few minutes, but we've picked a song to applaud you, and when we come back from the break with Dewey Sampson sharing his lifestyle of parenting with his son, DJ. And then we're going to delve into what he specializes in outside of DJ. Okay, so we're going to go on a break. And again, callers, press 1 to be in the caller queue when we return.
Hello, hi, I'm Brad Pitt. Thank you. walked out into the lobby.
Hello there, we're back. This is Trinita Randolph, and you've reached the Circle of Inclusion. And tonight's guest, we have Mr. Dewey Sampson. He is a father. He is a mentor for his son. He is a mentor for others, and he is an awesome all-around guy. Exactly. That with it's hard to find a man, a father who is going to go all in when it comes to taking care of the children. Usually it's just as nature and as the world has taught us, the moms have become, you know, the ones that basically care for their children. No matter what type of relationship you have with your husband, that's just generally the way it has been. But before we move on to the other aspect of our conversation, we do have a caller. So, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, if you're there, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, how are you doing? This is Abraham. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, Abraham. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, Janita. First, I just want to applaud this guy that we have on the phone. If we can get a round of applause for him again. I just want to give him a round of applause. I was blessed to have the opportunity to be a full-time father by choice. Once my son was born, me and his mom, we weren't together. So I came when she brought him home from the hospital, maybe 2-3 days after coming home, I told her, pack his stuff up. He's coming with me. She thought I was crazy, but I was dead serious. And I felt that as a man, it was my job to bring him up and to rear him. And I did that up until he was 13 years old. And I know how hard that was being a father of, I mean, he didn't have any special needs, right? And it was times where I daggone near thought I was going to lose my mind. I didn't know what I was doing. I was a young father. But it was rough, and so to have to take that on with a special needs child, I'm sure it's more added to, you know, than just, you know, the regular situation. And please forgive me, I don't really know how to word it, but at the end of the day, I just want to say, brother, and as men, we need to recognize other brothers who are doing great things, because sometimes we forget. I was telling Trinita, we had talked earlier, that, you know, we forget that it's single fathers out here, right? And I was one, so I know the process. So just congratulations to you on your on being on the show today. And I just want to tell you from another brother, I appreciate you, brother. You keep your head up and you keep doing what you're doing. And in the end, he's going to be grateful for it. Trust me. I love my son to this day. We still have a wonderful relationship. And I appreciate the fact that he understands that I love him and I've shown him.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, it's something that as men, we have to start expressing ourselves a little bit better. I really appreciate that.
All right, my brother. Yeah, that's all I wanted to call for. Hey, Trinita, once again, great show. Loving the show. And I'll keep on listening.
Thank you very much, Abe.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to move on to this next part. We wanted to briefly get in so that you can tell our listeners about it. I know that you have also started a program or group, a support group, to help not just you, but other fathers who may be out here that are in need of a way to express themselves, network, or just sit around with somebody like them. It's just like, you know, we do with anything else.
Right.
And so can you tell me the name of your group that you founded in Washington, D.C.?
Sure. So the name of the group is Fathers of Superheroes. I started it in conjunction with Skills on the Hill Pediatric Therapy. So the reason why I chose to do it in conjunction with them was because my son was receiving OT, PT, and speech from them, but it also gave it immediate credit. Like, so I, instead of just a random guy trying to start this group, it was something that had some heft to it, some weight to it as well, and they helped out with some of the first speakers that we had, things of that nature. And, you know, something that you said earlier today about being in a circle and how everyone is trying to find that right circle, mm-hmm. that's the exact reason why I started this group. So when my wife was alive, we could be in bed at 2-3 in the morning and I could roll over and be like, do you really think it's a good idea to take DJ out of school to go to ABA from 1-3? And, like, I had that sounding board. And so what I found, obviously, when she passed away was that there was no sounding board. So it was just me and my thoughts. They were just pinging in my mind. And I'm just like, how do I express this and who do I express it to? I spoke to DJ's OT one night and I was like, have you heard of any? I did some research and I noticed that there are tons of mothers groups, like, my wife used to be a part of a group called Moms on the Hill. She was a part of a whole bunch of different groups. But I was like, you know, are there any fathers groups? And his OT is amazing, and she did a whole bunch of research that night, and she really couldn't find that many fathers groups, and none that were specifically for dads with children with special needs. And so. That's kind of out of necessity. This thing was started, to be completely honest with you. And so it took off a lot quicker than I thought it was going to take off. You know, we're already working with smaller numbers, right? So I've seen different numbers. It's 1 in 57 or 1 in 59 children are born on the spectrum. So we're automatically have a smaller population of people, just parents and fathers in general. Okay. So our numbers were going to be smaller, but it was so much that was coming at me with ABA. I had one of my son's classmates' fathers, and I was talking to him about ABA, and he didn't know what ABA was. And I was like, there has to be a way that we can get this information out to more fathers. And then the former married man in me was like, happy wife, happy life. And then also, if you can bring this type of stuff back to your wife and let her take a little bit of a breath, that's going to help your relationship as well. You know, unfortunately, we've all seen the statistics with regards to marriages with children with special needs.
Absolutely.
And so if you are able to, and who knows, it might get you 3 days, it might get you 3 weeks, but it gets you something. Like, and you have a little bit of skin in the game. You know, I thought that was important. So the group itself it says fathers, but it's for male caregivers with children with special needs, and it's across the board. In the group, we have children that have other disabilities besides just autism as well. But the one thing that all of us have is a complete understanding of what the others are going through. So our last meeting was about a month ago. It's during the pandemic. It's every 2 weeks or so via Zoom. You know, personal stuff, my anniversary and Father's Day kind of threw me off a little bit, so we didn't have any then. But what was amazing about that was that I sent an email out to the group, and the response back from the group was absolutely everything that I needed. You know, it was take your time, get right, do everything that you need. The last meeting that we had, one of the gentlemen who actually called in from Tacoma, Washington, Washington State, and he called in, and right before, he was a little bit late. You know, there's nothing formal, but he was a little late. And he started to apologize for being late. I think his child had a slight meltdown right before. And
it was a place of understanding. You know, like it wasn't. Everybody was like, "Oh, man, don't worry about that." Like he had one a couple of days ago, and people just started pinging off of one another, and you're able to have conversations with people that go through the exact same thing that you go through. Because again, like my friend, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily understand what it is to be a parent of a child with special needs,
right.
And that's how the group was formed. We've gotten some pretty good feedback from our members. You know, it's all races, all nationalities, I'm sure religion, every demographic that you can think of. Financial demographics are different. And it's interesting that we all come together for the same thing, because it's, you know, I work with low-income students and that population, but the gentleman that calls in from Tacoma, Washington is a doctor. So it's across the board. And the one thing that we have in common, I can't pronounce half the words that he knows, but the one thing that we have in common is the fact that we have a child with special needs, and that's what builds that bond together.
Right. So, I mean, that sounds amazing. You've got Tacoma, Washington calling in.
Yeah.
And so my next question was going to be, is it just based in Washington, D.C., or do you – you know, have members from the whole DMV area or other states? And if so, how would one get into this group? How would they find out information?
So right now, again, this started a little quicker than I had expected it to start. So mm-hmm. We're still working on websites and things of that nature. Right now, if they're interested, they could just get in contact with myself. I know some of the folks that are in the group come from Skills on the Hill. So, you know, it's honestly, it's word of mouth. I was talking to a former neighbor who was running like a Juneteenth marathon in our neighborhood, and I was mm-hmm. telling him about it, and he's like, "Oh, I have a friend." And he took my number, and he gave my number to his friend. So, yeah, at this point, they can all just get in contact with me, and, you know, I can give them they can reach me at fathersofsuperheroes@gmail.com, and I will get back in contact with them. And I don't have any problem necessarily. If you have folks that want to reach out via telephone, we can do that as well offline.
Okay, wonderful. So, again, that is directed towards any gentleman that may be listening or any woman that's listening that needs to pass this information on to her husband, uncle, dad, you know, neighbor, whoever you feel like could benefit from this type of group. You can reach Dewey Sampson here on Facebook. Are you on any other social media platforms?
I'm on Instagram as well. We have started the Fathers of Superheroes Instagram as well. And again, we're getting all that up and running as we speak. We're going to do a Facebook group as well. What's really interesting about what you said is that a good majority of the guys that come on, the consistent guys that come on the group or come on the meeting, I should say, most of them were pushed towards this group by their wives or their significant others. So you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of times our better halves, there's a reason why they're called our better halves, and they know what the right thing to do is. And what happens is the wives push the men to come to the group, and now the men are fully vested and they're ready to go. So, you know, I agree with you 100% on that one.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know what it – I mean, I kind of know what it is from a male standpoint in regards to having a child with a special need, especially a son. You know, we're not seeing men – who are actually caregivers as often, as we stated earlier, you know. But a man generally sees his son born and typically thinks of all the wonderful things he can do with that son,
right?
Automatically, you know.
Right.
I know that my sons were looked at as, oh, one's going to be able to do this, and this one is a bruiser. He's going to be able to play football or boxing or whatever, and it has ended up not being such. And it takes the man on a, I don't know what to call it. It's like a trip, because it's harder to accept most men that they now have a son who they're not able to build that bond with. So the fact that you have created this group allows men to be able to learn from other men who are in the same situation or the, you know, like situation, to be able to handle themselves all of the, what we would call frustrating moments, all of the disappointments that I'm sure men deal with when they look at their son and see a child with special needs initially, you know, because
So
again, if anybody's listening and they want some further information on how to get in contact with Dewey Sampson, he is Dewey Sampson at Facebook, and he is also on Instagram, and they are currently putting together a website as well as an Instagram page for Fathers of Superheroes. And I'm going to make sure I keep in touch with him, and we will be helping him to broadcast this, you know, because there may be someone in the cut who just doesn't speak to anybody. And just, you know, there could be a father who is not in the life of a child because they're unaware of how to handle it.
Right.
And this type of group can help them. It's, you know, it's, like you know that you stated before, most marriages have a difficult time dealing with this.
Absolutely.
It can be very frustrating and very taxing on a marriage. So unfortunately, a lot of women end up raising that child by themselves because the father doesn't know how to deal with it. Well, this right here is going to help them. And, you know, just as I've learned to share my story and make it, you know, transparent to those around me, near and far, to be able to help them, I am grateful for you and your abilities to do what you're doing now and put it together for the men in our lives. You know, again, I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what I just, sorry to interrupt, but what I will say about that is, like, part of the reason why the group exists is because of the same things that you just said. Like, you know, I was like, oh, my son's going to, you know, we're from D.C., so that's what we play basketball, so that's what we're going to do. Like, and so what it allows us to do is also realize that there are different approaches that can get you to different places too. So just because your child is diagnosed as being on the spectrum doesn't mean that your child can't play sports. There's a ton of sports leagues in D.C. For children with special needs, or music programs, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, what's interesting about the group, one of the biggest things for me is always money, right? So, like, how do we set this up so that when I'm no longer here, he'll be okay? And so it'll be like a special needs trust so that this house will be paid for no matter what, whether or not you you have life insurance. You can have two different policies, one for your wife and one for your child. The one for your child goes into the special needs trust. But the great thing about that was that we were able to find this out because one of the guys in the group is a financial planner. And he did a hour plus long presentation on special needs trust, ABLE accounts, how to get at least the money taken out with regards to taxes, whether or not you should use a trust done by a law firm, which takes a huge percentage of that trust, or, you know, a lot of banks that have special needs trust departments. Like, there's different ways of going about doing it. And that's the reason why this is important, because people don't know what they don't know. And
right.
So, you know, if I had no clue that he was a financial advisor who specialized in, and again, like, in this regard, you should go to somebody that does specialize in special needs trusts and special needs wills and all that stuff.
Right.
Because it's different than your typical will, your typical trust. And so, like, that's what this father's group is about, like opening up those worlds to different people, because the information is there. There isn't a centralized place for the information, but it is there. And so if we can bring it together and just allow folks to come on an hour on a Saturday to learn and just to socialize, then I think that's the perfect setup.
Right, exactly. I applaud that. And I'm sure in the midst of you creating your website that you're going to have a number of links where a parent with questions about any particular subject can click on, and it will take them to, you know, say, an agency where they can find, you know, how to get services, or an agent, or, you know, a list of individuals for creating the special needs, the child with special needs, and any kind of financial planning that's going to be needed for them. Absolutely. You know, I mean, that's, I understand that, because that's a lot of the questions that I had, you know, and unfortunately I didn't get to that point.
Right.
You know, before my boys to have to do that. But I definitely had those questions, because then you also have to think about that child is going to transition into adult life.
Absolutely.
And that being done, they still may not be able to handle all of their business.
Right.
So you want to make sure you have as many bases covered. So I definitely think that's a great idea. You have been just a wonderful, wonderful joy right now to have on this show, because, you know, again, I don't know if any of the gentlemen are listening, but you can always replay this talk today, tonight, tomorrow, any day, you know. And I just want you to know that when God puts together a plan for our lives, we are not included in the making of it.
Right.
He decides what we go through, when we go through it, and how we endure each situation, how long it takes us to conquer or complete each trial, and what the end will be. With that being said, I want you to remember, whatever you're going through, believe that God knows and has already worked it out on your behalf, and how you will get to the other side. It's no strange statement that God won't give you anything that you can't bear. And if you believe and trust in him, you'll see all that he has for you. So continue to be encouraged. Continue to reach out to others. Continue to uplift one another. And you are in your big circle of inclusion. Again, this is Trinita Randolph, Circle of Inclusion, and Dewey Sampson, from Washington, D.C., with his agency called Fathers of Superheroes. He can be reached, again, at Facebook as Dewey Sampson, and on Instagram. They'll be building a site up for Fathers of Superheroes. I can be reached on all social media as Trinita Randolph, the Circle of Inclusion, as well as I Write for His Glory on Instagram. I appreciate all that you've done, all that you will be doing, and I pray that God continues to keep his hand over your life. And I thank you very much for this evening.
Thank you.
You've been a joy. You've definitely been a joy.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate everyone listening. Again, I thank you, and I hope that you have been able to take something of great importance from this conversation with Dewey Sampson. You know, I want to thank you all for continuing to support this endeavor, and I hope that you will continue. If you're not able to take anything from it, then pass it on to someone else. Again, I'd like to say thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Is that India? What happened to her hair? Well, if I want to shave it closer, I want to rock locks that'll make a bit away from the soul that I got. Little girl with the pressing curl. AJ, I got a Jerry.